Transmitting from South Central Texas since 2007, this is the Original Anomaly Podcast with Jen and Angela.
Coming up, will Robert Pattinson really be playing Batman? Outraged fans and their relentless grumblings. After years, the Black Widow movie is finally happening. The Picard series, the Wheel of Time series is finally starting to cast characters. Your emails on our Passengers, Endgame, and Captain Marvel episodes, and why it's okay not to know everything about the things you're fans of. More great podcast suggestions for you to try, and much more. Whether you just watched your very first comic book movie, or you can quote Tolkien at the drop of a sword, we'll help you embrace your passion for science fiction and fantasy books, movies, games, television, and more. So get ready to laugh and geek out. Hit subscribe, push play, and find your clan.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. My name is Angela, and if you go after my kid in Fortnite, understand that I have a very special set of skills. I will find you, I will kill your character, and you will rue the day you ever learned to dance the floss. And I am an anomaly.
I'm Jen. Quality time with my son includes teaching him how to be a good sport while playing video games and schooling him in the fine art of gardening. And I am an anomaly. So my kid is not the one that you're going to go after.
Some of these jerks on Fortnite, my gosh. He plays with his friends, and that's really fun. Sometimes they fight together, sometimes they fight each other, and it's all good fun. When you play with other people, that's where it gets kind of crazy. They will camp spawn points and just be jerks. He will exact his revenge eventually.
Eventually, and I would expect nothing less.
So, I mean, he is a sweet kid, but he kind of holds grudges.
Yes.
So.
Yes. He and Aaron play Minecraft.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they're always teasing each other, but it's not mean or malicious. They'll go invisible. I can hear Aaron going, "Where are you, Russell? Where are you? Russell!"
Yeah, like, he's got a little bit of... There is a little bit of that kind of mean streak, you know, when he feels like he's been wronged. He will, like, he'll wait. He'll wait until you get comfortable, and then he'll strike. That's my boy.
That's the reason I don't play against people online anymore.
I don't like to do that
either. I've tried Star Wars Battlefront, and I suck so bad, Angela. You start out with no equipment.
Yeah.
Bare minimal. And of course, the ones who are the best have all the high dollar stuff or stuff they've bought or earned through gaming for 10 years or whatever. As soon as I enter the game, some sniper all the way on the other side of the map is popping me as soon as I enter the game. And it's so frustrating. Aaron is my revenge on those people because he can go into a game like that and just wipe the floor with people. I don't know how he does it.
Well,
it's not because of me. It's totally not. What I think we'll do first is maybe do some movie news and then the listener feedback.
Okay.
And also, some of our Facebook group members made some podcast suggestions that I think were really good that I want
to. And one day we'll get to our time travel episode. Maybe we'll travel.
Gosh. And go back in time. It's all Marvel's fault.
I know.
They keep coming out with movies because now we have to review Spider-Man. Not sad about that.
No.
I'd rather do the Spider-Man.
I don't know if I'm emotionally ready, but we can do it.
Yeah, we can do it. Well, in movie news, Sparkle Boy is going to be playing Batman.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe, maybe not.
Well, no, I think that that has been confirmed now.
Okay. I heard it isn't confirmed.
Oh, okay.
He's just in official talks, but I don't know. I think it's safe to say it's official because Warner Brothers would probably quash the slew of news releases about him being officially crowned the next Batman if it wasn't true.
Well, and also they're creating buzz. A lot of the things that quote unquote leak are usually not leaked. They're usually a very strategic PR thing. I mean, yeah, sometimes stuff gets leaked. But I don't think that this is one of those things. And I think Robert Pattinson kind of gets a bad rap as far as that.
What is people's problem
with
him?
People are just weird. People are weird.
Oh my gosh. Everyone has got very strong opinions about who plays Batman.
Hold on one second. I'm sorry.
Mommy's trying to record a podcast. Can you give me a few minutes?
Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry, Jen came by last night and gave her two giant boxes of two little girls' lifetimes worth of costumes. And so she's going through them all right now.
Oh my gosh. Of
trying
she's
them
excited.
On. She's a kid in a candy store right now.
Yes.
And she's so happy. Even when I said, "Hey, I need a minute," she's like, "Okay.
All right.
I'll just be in here trying on my next tiara.
Yep, exactly.
Something and it with wasn't me. I didn't give it to her. Sith Jen did.
You know what was included? An Ahsoka.
Awesome.
Yes. Lorelai would make an excellent Ahsoka. So anyway,
definitely.
All right. It's almost getting to be a tired story that people are upset about some casting choice.
I agree. And it's always something that people are PO'd about.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's not the casting, it's the way a series ended, or it's a woman, you know, as a Jedi or whatever. I'm getting tired of it.
I feel like a loving criticism is different than some of this up in arms stuff before you even see what happens. I think we need to be...
You don't have to be denigrating.
Right. You need to be careful about that kind of stuff, too, because these are people. I realize that they're famous or whatever, but they're people, and it would just suck.
I know. There's been a huge backlash against Pattinson playing Batman. Here's a question to ask yourself. Is he a relatively good actor?
Yeah.
Does he have a good jawline?
He does.
He's in.
He's excellent.
He doesn't sparkle in real life, people.
Well,
just give the man a chance.
I don't know. I mean, he was working, and it helped him get a lot of other gigs, so... What's so bad about Twilight in that regard? Just because it's not our favorite thing doesn't mean it's people don't love it.
Right.
We just got to be cool. We have to be accepting of all the things people are passionate about, even if it's stupid.
Just kidding. You can have opinions and that's fine.
We actually have an old episode where we talked about Twilight. Remember that when Holly did an episode with us?
We did not like it.
Yeah. No, we didn't, but it was cool because we had someone that did. We had a muggle that liked Twilight. We brought her in because we wanted to bring someone that actually liked it. And that's how we roll around here in Anomaly. We'll be okay with Batman. Okay, now this is interesting, Jen.
This has been an ongoing, maybe not, but
yep.
Black Widow apparently has an actual movie coming out in 2020, perhaps. It started like around 2004. They were saying they were going to do a Black Widow movie, but I don't think they really wanted to invest in it until after Wonder Woman had a huge success. And
2004
now,
is a long time ago, though.
Yeah, it was. But I don't think they were certain that a female superhero would draw audiences.
Yeah, because back in those days, nobody wanted to option any Marvel that wasn't Spider-Man. Even doing Iron Man was kind of a stretch. And this whole new thing that's going on that they've created in the past 10 years with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's not even just the fact that she's a woman, but just that she's an ancillary character as far as some people were concerned back then anyway. Honestly, that's one of the reasons that Marvel was able to do what they did. No one thought they could. Yeah, you want Iron Man and all these other random guys nobody cares about? Great. We want Spider-Man and Superman. You know, we want the big
Batman.
Guys. We just want to keep making Batmans and Spider-Mans. This has only come about, you know, in the last 10 years. We take it for granted now, but in 2004, it's amazing they were even talking about it. And not just because she's a woman, but because she was like kind of a background character as far as comics were concerned. So
she had her own comic, though.
I know.
So I don't think she
was
a background character. She was a background character in the Avengers film, kind of like a sidekick.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just in the grand scheme of like, what are people going to pay money to see at the movies? Only super fans know about some of these characters before MCU. They were only thinking that they could make money with Spider-Man. It's not about Black Widow at all. It's about anyone but Spider-Man. You know what I mean?
I see your point.
I mean, as soon as Avengers came out, she's awesome and we love her.
But it still took them forever to come to this decision to go ahead and do it. I mean, how many years has the MCU been? There's like 22 movies now and it's just now that they're making Black Widow.
I do agree that that needed to happen as soon as possible. But I think it helps to have such a strong writing in the MCU.
But you know what else I think that will make this movie a really big success is the end of Endgame, mm-hmm. which I won't spoil if you have not seen Endgame yet. But I think that will spark interest in the Black Widow movie. Like, people will really want to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
In other movie news, I found out that Jurassic World 3 is coming out. Everyone from the original Jurassic Park is going to be in it. I don't know about the kids. But Jeff Goldblum, Sam Neill, Laura Dern, they're all supposed to be in it.
That's awesome.
And I don't know. Are we over Jurassic Park at this point? I mean, I've seen the ones with Chris Pine in it, and they're pretty good.
Chris Pratt?
Why do I keep doing that? Yeah.
Because there's Chris 15 Pratt. Chris's.
3,000 Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pratt, Chris Clemente.
That's why I call all the Chrises by their last name.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of Jens going around too. I think I might go see it.
Yeah.
That kind of surprised me. I wasn't expecting
it. I may
that.
Go back and watch them. And I even really like Chris Pratt. And I appreciate Jurassic Park. It's just not something that I'm like, oh, yes, Jurassic Park. People are allowed to be excited about whatever they want
right.
to be excited
and
about.
Well, I know there are people who are super fans of the Pirates of the Caribbean
yes.
series as well. And you're not.
I just really dislike Keira Knightley. I've already lost interest in this conversation.
It's over.
You know, we all have things that we feel strongly about.
Mine's Tom Cruise.
I'm sure she's very nice.
I really don't
really?
Like Tom Cruise.
And it's funny because, like, I'm not fully supportive of Tom Cruise. I kind of like some of his movies.
I do, too. But on principle, I just don't like
I get it.
His movies.
I get it. I'm just not
Also, he always plays Tom Cruise.
That's
he never
fine.
Plays the
He's
character.
He's making money doing that. I really like that one from a few years ago where he keeps going back in time in the time loop with Emily Blunt. It's a really good sci-fi movie. If you've never seen it, I recommend it. And I'll find what it is because I feel kind of silly that I don't know. I think we happened upon it in the middle of it once on TV. And then we went back and just watched the whole thing. And I was like, this is actually not a bad movie.
Edge of Tomorrow. That was a 2000.
And it's a really good sci-fi movie just in general. He does play Tom Cruise, but it works. And I like her because she plays like a super badass. She can also be Mary Poppins, which proves that Mary Poppins is a super badass.
We already knew that.
This is totally off the subject, but Russell and Lorelai and I happened upon like the last three quarters of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And that part where he's like, you look like Mary Poppins, man. And he's like, is he cool? And Star-Lord goes, yeah, he's cool. I love that's very,
yeah.
very heartwarming.
Yes.
So sweet. Darn it, Marvel.
They're so good.
Making
at that
me
stuff.
Feel my own feelings. Speaking of getting excited about stuff.
Oh, yeah. In Wheel of Time news, Rosamund Pike has been cast as the lead in the series. She's going to be playing Moraine Sedai or Moraine Domadrid.
Moraine is considered a lead.
They're starting with Eye of the World. So
right.
she is at first, I guess.
Okay.
She's kind of like
She's
the foundation.
Gandalf.
She is the Gandalf. I hate it when people like, and I've been guilty of this too, critique casting based on the way the book describes characters.
It's an essence thing.
It's an essence. And I think her essence fits the character.
Yeah. There's this thing called costume design and makeup.
And acting.
Anyway, no, even the publicity shots they took of her, she looks really regal. And, you know, to me, the most important thing about Aes Sedai is getting that weird, wise, but young face.
Yes.
Not necessarily a specific face, but really that look of age and wisdom, but still youth and beauty. That's the most important thing to me, because it has to just have that essence. It's sort of ephemeral. I can't really describe it, but that's the thing that I think is the most important in an Aes Sedai.
Well, in addition to her leading role, she'll be credited as a producer on the series with
cool.
Harriet McDougall, the woman who edited the Wheel of Time books, and Brandon Sanderson, who wrote
cool.
the final three novels, The Gathering Storm, Towers of Midnight, and A Memory of Light. We did a book review episode just recently on one of his latest books. He's one
oh,
of my
cool.
absolute favorite authors. And it's going to be on Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah, so. That'll be good. That'll be some good money. They need to give it the production value of a Game of Thrones.
Definitely.
This really needs to be Peter Jackson, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones kind of HBO, Game of Thrones kind of thing. So I'm hoping that that will be this for them. And I'm just so excited.
We always mention The Wheel of Time
mm-hmm.
because it's one of our absolute favorite book series. Here's a little background. And if you want to dig deeper, check out our two episodes on Eye of the World and New Spring that
mm-hmm.
are in the feed right now. But The Wheel of Time follows Moraine, a member of the powerful all-woman organization, the Aes Sedai. She goes on a journey across the world with five young people who she believes might include the reincarnation of a person prophesized to save or destroy humanity. It's really, really, really intriguing.
It's so good. And it's almost a base piece of literature that you and I talk about in passing. It's part of how we describe ourselves and things that we say.
Yeah.
It's part of our language, thinking of someone being, oh, she's such a brown.
Yeah, she's such a brown or a green or red.
Those green hussies. That's part of something that we talk about all the time. So it might help you understand some of the weird stuff we say.
It was written by Robert Jordan, and he passed away like before he can finish it.
But he had it written. He had notes, though.
He had a lot of notes. Mm-hmm. And the book series was passed to Brandon Sanderson, who was a huge fan and started reading the series when he was in high school, like when Robert Jordan started. But
In the 90s.
Mm-hmm, yeah. In the 90s.
Yep.
In it. So anyway, I know a lot of people criticize it. Like Rico said, he gave up in the middle. Because it's so long and he hates all the detail.
There is that slog.
The audiobook version, the narration really brings it to life and it makes that slog so much more enjoyable. Mm-hmm. So I recommend listening to the audiobook.
When
audiobooks,
Jim,
there's
Jim
a
has,
lot.
Yeah, Jim has read the series all the way through twice. The first time he read everything super fast. And the second time, no joke, he got to book 6 and it took him 2 years to mm-hmm. get through book 6. You know, he'd already read it, so there wasn't as much like push. And then finally one day, he just decided to finish book 6 and then he finished the next half of the series in like 3 months. Like it just happened super fast. But I get it. Like even for people who reread, there is a couple of books that are kind of slow and he goes on all these tangents and there's like 15 main characters. And the other thing I was telling one of my muggle friends at work about it, she's watched some of and been interested in some of the fantasy TV. And so she's like, oh, what is it about? And I said, well, it's 14 books. And she looked at me with these giant eyes. And I said, well, the funny thing is yeah, it is 14 books, but 80% of it is describing things. She walked into the room, her velvet dress wafting in the summer breeze while the sunlight came in through the
People like that. It's like a...
I'm just saying it's a style thing. A lot of that stuff you're going to be able to see. Some of the narrative is going to go faster than it did in the books, I think.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Just in general. Because it's like,
down.
Oh, well, she's just going to walk in and that's going to be like 3 pages of the book.
You know what I liken it to is those of us who play RPG video games. Some of us just want to do the main storyline and we get on with it already.
Yes.
And then some of us, like me, explore every little side quest mm-hmm. and go on like walkabouts all over the map,
yep.
everywhere. And yep. Jordan goes through walkabouts and
he
explores
does.
All the side quests.
And it's so interesting, too, because since there's so many walkabouts, anybody you meet could be a character.
You could. Totally.
So, yeah. Like the other day when all of us were doing the Star Wars stacks thing, I don't think we ever settled who was who, but we were like, which Avenger are we? There's only 6 to choose from. In Wheel of Time, there's like 20,000 characters. So you could cast the entire thing with a school of people, with like everybody you know. You
yeah.
could be like, oh, you're this Aes Sedai. You're this guy who drives a boat. You're this guy from the woods or the fields or the desert. That's what I kind of love about it, though.
Yeah, well, we'll keep you up to date on the Wheel of Time television series. But what do you think, Angela, about starting another series review of the Wheel of Time?
I like that idea. You know who we should make talk to us about it is Margaret. Or Jim. Yeah.
That's who I was saying.
Oh, my husband, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jim. He would do it. Just
got
to give him a little bit of whiskey.
Episodes are always more fun with a little bit of alcohol.
That's true. I think he thinks about it too much.
Yeah.
And so a little bit of whiskey, and then he could just talk. Because he worries too much about what he's saying. That's why he's not on the show.
Yeah.
He's
really smart. He takes us on tangents sometimes.
Well, no, but he's really smart and he has really good ideas. And a lot of times some of the stuff I say is stuff that he and I have talked through. So he totally could do it. But getting in front of people, even on a microphone and talking. And he has a great voice, too. Obviously, we use him at the beginning of the
show.
Yeah. But we can probably convince him to do a couple of Wheel of Time things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would
that'd be fun.
Pretty easy. So
yeah, I'll do maybe in preparation for the release of the series.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yay, okay.
Picard news.
Is there something new here?
It was new when we made these notes when we started doing this episode, but there's been nothing since.
It's cool.
This is from Den of Geek, May 23rd, 2009, and I'll put a link in the show notes. But it says that Patrick Stewart has said that the team on the new show are writing a 10-hour movie and that all are hoping for more than one season to transpire.
Cool.
This could be a matter of phrasing from the actor, but the idea that the series will be one long arc for the characters is delightfully appealing. The series apparently is expected to arrive on streaming service at the end of 2019. I don't think they've actually said when. When we initially found out about this TV show, of course, we were all super stoked because we love Captain Picard and TNG is our Star Trek. And we just grew up watching that. I guess it was during that critical age when you're becoming a teenager and then into adulthood in it. And we grew up with that We did that series. And so it just means so much to us. And knowing that there's going to be a new series with Patrick Stewart, some mission that he's on, it's super secretive. But we're really excited about that. And we got a trailer recently, which I will play right now.
Have you ever been a stranger to yourself?
Many, many times. Nearly two decades ago, Commander Data sacrificed his life for me. These past few years, I really tried to belong here. But it never truly felt like home.
Do you know who I am? Everything inside of me says that I'm safe with you.
Admiral, I have encountered a woman. She came to me for help. If she is who I think she is, she's in serious danger.
Sometimes I worry that you have forgotten who you are. We do not.
You can't do it alone. You need help. You need protection. You need a crew. Be the captain they remember. She has no idea what she truly is.
She's the end of all. She's the destroyer.
What the hell are you doing out here, Picard? Saving the galaxy?
Engage. I don't want the game to end.
I can see that, Captain.
Hey, it's Jen cutting in with a later recording. I was editing this Saturday, July 20th, when the first official trailer for the Picard series dropped. And Angela and I had not seen it at the time that we recorded this episode, and we were referring to the teaser trailer. And everything that we talked about it after that was about the teaser trailer. What I saw in the original trailer just now was that Jeri Ryan is in it, and Brent Spiner is voicing Data, which looks like a hologram Data. Hopefully, Angela and I will be able to talk about it very soon. We can't record this weekend, and I just need to get this out tomorrow. It would be awesome to hear from you to see what you thought of it, what you were able to glean from it. It looks like the Borg is involved, and some girl who has some connection that doesn't know what she is, but seems to think that she's going to be safe with Picard. Anyway, super exciting. Remember, email us and let us know what you thought, and we will read your emails and play your audio messages in the next episode. And now I will return to the previously recorded Anomaly episode and play the teaser trailer now that Angela and I were reacting to.
15 years ago, today, you led us out of the darkness. You commanded the greatest rescue armada in history. Then, the unimaginable. What did that cost you? Your faith? Your faith in us? Your faith in yourself? Tell us, why did you leave Starfleet, Admiral?
Doesn't, like, give us a lot of information, but we know that he's left Starfleet for some reason. Something traumatic occurred.
Also, and I think you and I both talked about this in our Discovery review, that might be linked to Discovery?
Yeah, that's what Angela and I, our theory is.
I don't know that it really has an opportunity to link up because the timeline seems off, but time is time is time. So.
Yes. We just reviewed the season 2 finale episode.
Yes.
That's where we talked about that. I think it's going to be a really good show. And I hope that they do go into a second season, but we'll see. Because Patrick Stewart is getting up there. Time is catching up with him. Because for years and years, he never looked different. And now he's starting to look a little older.
He's awesome. He's still awesome. I don't care.
You shut your mouth.
I did the story. I told the story the other day about meeting him again. And I almost teared up just talking about
Patrick
it.
Patrick Stewart.
He's so awesome.
If you can see him at a panel, it's worth it.
Oh, it was
it's totally worth it.
He's so good. Do you follow him on Facebook or anything?
I used to follow him on Twitter, and he likes to troll Will Wheaton sometimes.
Well, his his thing recently has been all of the rescues he fosters. He fosters mm-hmm. rescue dogs, and it is the cutest thing. And he does pit bull specifically. He does other dogs too, but it's just so cute seeing him with the cute dogs. So I'm ready.
There's other news, like the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance. The first episode date is going to be August 30th. And I think it, too, will be on Amazon Prime. Or is it? No, it's going to be on Netflix.
Netflix. Yeah, yeah.
In anticipation, I tried to watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit, and I know this won't be popular, I love everything Jim Henson except for this movie.
Really?
I went to see it in the theater, and I just remembered the whole time not knowing what the frack was going on. The creepiness. I think that's what did it. I checked out as soon as they started fighting over the body. Do you remember that scene where they ripped the clothes off the chancellor?
It's been so long.
It is a dark movie.
Yeah.
And I tried rewatching it the other night with Aaron, but the voiceover for the puppeteering, it's very high pitched, a lot of shrill.
Yeah.
It's grating. Feel free to write in and tell me why I'm wrong as well. But what did you think of that movie? Have you seen it?
I saw it when I was a kid. I haven't really gone back to it. Like I have some other movies that I prefer. Like I prefer The Labyrinth. I watched The Labyrinth.
I
like
love that one.
1,400 million times.
Yeah.
So I do like Dark Crystal. It just didn't come up in my head. Mm-hmm. As much as other movies did.
Yeah. You know? Well, there's a couple of scenes also that reminded me a great deal of Return of the Jedi. When Yoda dies and he disappears, the same scene happens in The Dark Crystal. And I'm kind of wondering which one came first. I need to research that and find out.
No, I think Dark Crystal is mid-80s.
Return of the Jedi is too.
Yeah, so Jedi would be.
We'll see.
Maybe.
Frank Oz was one of the writers and producers of that. That is the news. Do you want to go over some listener mail?
Printing out emails. Here come the emails being printed out.
Let's see. This one is from Ben. He says, I'm a new listener to the podcast, longtime listener to Treks and Sci-Fi, so that's how I found you. Quick note about Passengers. There are articles about how solitary confinement is extremely harmful to one's mental health. The longer it goes on, the worse you get. So maybe that's why he finally releases the lady from the pod. And he says, add me to the list of male listeners. I've enjoyed the 4 podcasts I've listened to so far. Thanks for doing the show. Keep up the great work. Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
And he's referring to the episode that we did, underrated sci-fi movies, Passengers. What was the one you covered? Eon Flux,
which is awesome.
Yeah. So that one, that was only a couple of months ago.
I've
so
had lots of conversations about Passengers with people since we
really?
Since we did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And my friend Winter and I have, based on an idea that Sith Jen gave us, we're like determined to rewrite the movie as a horror movie.
That would be interesting. I'd watch
that. And it's kind of fun, this idea of it driving him crazy to the point where he actually goes insane and then her figuring it out. I mean, it was just like a fun exercise. It's a fun writing exercise, kind of a writing prompt.
Yeah.
And so we've been like joking about it over lunch about how we would rewrite it. So I don't know. And I've had a couple of other conversations with people about it because we just want to love it so much. Anyway, it's really interesting. I'm glad, but this is the kind of stuff we like to talk about, is getting further in. And that's why we picked movies that people usually don't review, because they don't like them.
Right. Yeah.
You know, usually, you know, if you have a review show or if you're writing reviews all the time, you have to cover everything, you know, and that's why there's good reviews and bad reviews. But most of the time when you have a show like ours, you're covering the stuff that you like. It's stuff we've already decided that we like, and maybe we pick at it a little bit, or like the Star Trek thing where we have the worst of Trek. We're purposely picking at it because we love TNG we love Star Trek so much. That's why you and I were like, well, what's something somebody's not doing? And we realized, you know, there's movies out there that I have always loved that other people don't love. Wouldn't it be fun to do a little series of that? And those were the first two we picked.
It's an interesting comment that he has on solitary confinement.
Yeah,
and he gave
I
us
agree.
A link that I'm going to put in the show notes if you want to read about solitary confinement and see
yeah.
if you think that could have been the reason for why he did what he did. Thank you again, Ben. And then this one is from Jerry.
Hi, all. Enjoyed your recent podcast on Discovery. I believe you mentioned you may do a podcast on time travel. Hope you give mention to Continuum, which I know you watched,
Yeah,
Jen.
I love that movie. Our TV show.
This starred Rachel Nichols and ran four seasons from 2012 to 2015 on the Sci-Fi Channel. The premise of the show was Rachel's character, Kira, travels back from the future 65 years. She's a policewoman who is pursuing terrorists. She leaves a husband and son behind. She continues to pursue the terrorists and change the future from present-day Vancouver. In her future, corporations control the government. She even hopes to return someday to her future. The show covered many aspects of time travel during its run. At one point, there are two Kiras. Not to give any spoilers, the series conclusion was a satisfying wrap-up. Its cast was amazing. Lexa Doge, I don't know if that's the right, from Andromeda, William B. Davis, for all I know who that is, from X-Files, and many other Vancouver actors. It sounds like that's similar to some of the Stargate actors,
mm-hmm,
too.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds familiar. During its run, I caught some of the cast at a panel at the Detroit Comic-Con. Hey, that would be where
yeah,
Rico
Rita.
Is. One of the first questions came from one of the cast members who had been planted in the audience. So that's
oh,
pretty
cool.
funny. Keep up the good work. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
That was from Jerry.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. And I think you can still watch it on Netflix
mm-hmm.
if you want. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
I think it's still there.
That we will talk about in our time travel episode.
Oh, yeah. We have so much to talk about. I even found that one weird one. Did I send that to you?
I don't think so.
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, my friends at work have been giving me long lists of shows I have never heard of, including one from Spain.
Mm.
This one's from Daniel. He does cosplay
He's
photography.
He's an excellent
and
photographer.
Regular photographer. He's awesome. And he took this great photo of our friend Stephanie in her mm-hmm. Viking costume at the edge of this lake. And it's just beautiful. Maybe we can get permission to put it in the show notes so
yeah,
you guys can
I'm
see
I'm sure
it.
You would. Also, he had a video that went viral in the past 2 months.
Oh, cool.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Where it shows his kind of approach to cosplay photography is very innovative, and he did a short kind of 1 minute documentary about how he does his cosplay photography, and it is so cool. I'll find it and we'll put it, because I'm sure he would not mind us sharing it because it's been shared all over the place.
Oh, that's awesome.
And
I'd love to do that.
But he's like us. He's a normal dude who lives in Texas and he has a normal job and photography business on the side. He's so talented though. I'm hoping that, you know, he can do that full time because it's so great.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and he
sorry.
Has his own podcast too. I'll tell you about at the end.
Okay, cool.
So he says, I enjoyed y'all's episode and hearing y'all fangirl and get all emotional about the parts that touched you the most. He's referring to Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I also felt Captain Marvel's spot was underwhelming and surprisingly small, but those parts were shot before her movie was filmed, so they didn't know what to do or what not to do yet. Also, Thanos used the purple power stone to force push her away, not the space stone.
Which one is the purple one then?
I have no
oh,
idea.
Oh gosh, I'll have to look that up. Sorry.
Hey, we're pretty open about the fact that we just love what we love and we don't know all the things. But
that's true. That's
I
all part
really
of it.
I really love it. I love it when people write in and let us know because
yeah.
that informs us and it informs you.
Also, you know, Jen, there's a secret to life. Do you know the secret to life, Jen?
42?
Yes. But after 42, oh my gosh, Russell just came over here and told me 42.
Tell him
he dropped out of the ceiling to do it. That's pretty funny. Now, the secret to life, especially life on the internet, is that mm-hmm. the easiest way to get the right answer to a question is not to ask the question, but to put up the wrong answer.
There you go.
Then people will come immediately to tell you how
yeah.
wrong you are. It's brilliant.
But again, I am not at all offended that Daniel wrote
no.
to tell us that at
no,
all.
No, not at all. That's what
I
we
like
love.
It. Yes,
and
we
love
it.
And that's something we encourage not only people to tell us, but we encourage you to not be afraid to be wrong.
You mm-hmm. don't have to know all the things. I noticed y'all calling Falcon Nightwing.
Oops.
Beware of angry Marvel-loving, DC-hating fans. I forgive you, though.
Yeah.
Also, in the Far From Home trailer, it doesn't say that the snap is what made the alternate timelines. Those are already in existence. That's how alternate universe / time wormlines work.
I understand that.
Fury says the snap tore holes in our dimension. I think there's a typo here, which I presume is how Mysterio and his troublemaking elemental creatures made it to Earth.
Okay.
What's significant about this reveal is that the multiverse, which is the basis for so many alternate comic versions of everything existing simultaneously, is now canon. canon. Yay!
Yay!
This means we can have a Loki show, which is happening for Disney Plus, and I believe is only possible since Loki got the Space Stone in Endgame and disappeared to do more mischief.
Yes.
It also means we can get that What If show, which will explore different What If scenarios, such as what would happen if Peggy got the serum and not Steve? This would probably be an animated show, but it still sounds cool. Spoiler alert! I was long puzzled about how Steve was able to show up on the bench of our Earth if he traveled to an alternate Earth and stayed there with Peggy and no longer had any time-traveling tech, etc. But it turned out that because he restored the stones and the hammer, that everything was set back to how it should be,
right.
And thus he remained in our Earth, which is now called Earth 616. So he married Peggy, had kids, aged, and likely met his younger self that was eventually thawed out from the ice. He then went to that spot at the right time. Imagine old Steve hiding in the bushes and waiting to be noticed. He must have taken that timeline shield, sorry other Steve, to give to Falcon. Anyway, if you two have time, take a listen to my episode on Endgame, which we will put a link to in the show notes if you are interested, and our multiverse episode where I was able to clear up my own confusion from the Endgame episode after I did some more research and we discussed MCU stuff with the multiverse. I will definitely put those two links in the show notes if you want to listen to his episode. And he also had a link to a video. It's not his, but he says that this video explains 6 cool alternate timelines that should exist thanks to the actions of Endgame, which sounds really cool. I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah.
And he says, keep up the great work and I look forward to more content.
Yippee.
And then here's another one. So he has a comment about our Captain Marvel episode and he says, okay. Something interesting I noticed is that both Alita Battle Angel and Captain Marvel, which came out around the same time, are both movies about strong, superpowered females who rise from the ashes and have dyslexia and has the fish out of water aspect. I don't think Captain Marvel has dyslexia, and I haven't seen Alita. He says, what's up with that? And then Wonder Woman is similar. She has the fish out of water aspect as well. And when she learns about men and the outside world, it sure does give some hilarious comedy and fun character building. But does it bother you that they keep having this forced innocence and ignorance of the world scenario? They almost need a man or love interest to complete their identity in some ways. Maybe not with Carol Danvers, though. Thoughts? And then he says, concerning the origin of the term Avengers, I always thought it came from Iron Man's powerful line of we'll avenge or something to that effect. I always assumed he told that to Fury and somehow it stuck out that Iron Man named the team based on that. But Fury's inspiration for Carol's call sign caught me by surprise. In the comics, her call sign is Hamburger because that's what she barfed up while flying during training or something similar. Imagine the alternate universe, the Hamburger Initiative. Hamburger's a symbol. And let's not forget Captain America, the first hamburger. Actually, her call sign is Cheeseburger. There's a funny exchange from Miss Marvel Volume 2, Number 11. I looked it up just to see where this is coming from. But so this guy she's dating says, so what was your call sign? And she says, Cheeseburger. Before you ask, it's not the kind of thing you want to hear about over dinner. Really, I want to hear. I don't believe I'm telling you this. Okay, before they put you in a jet, they put you in a G-force simulator. You've seen them on TV before, I'm sure of it. I see where this is going. Just guess what I ate before it was my turn to go on the merry-go-round. Oh no, oh yes, when you barf and you're pulling 5Gs, it sort of shoots an inch or two out the side of your face, then comes screaming straight back. And he says, ha! Yeah, laugh it up. Oh, that's terrible. What was terrible was getting it out of my hair. Oh my God.
I like it.
So gross. Does it bother you that they keep having these forced innocence and ignorance of the world in these stories, and they almost need a man or a love interest to complete their identity in some ways? Maybe not Carol Danvers, though. Thoughts?
I think that in a way, it's interesting that he says that because I think that what Captain Marvel does is bring attention to that trope and break it. It's showing you what you expect. Oh, here's a man who believes in her. And then it turns out that's not the case at all. And she's like, oh yeah, what I need to do instead of listening to him is completely ignore everything he says and do my own thing. That's the message of Captain Marvel. I think it's purposely breaking that trope. Moving forward, we won't see that as much. But going back and forth with storytelling, you have different phases where things become popular, and then people kind of expect it. I think what he's actually recognizing is a breaking of that, which is good. But fish out of water stories are kind of fun.
They are fun.
They're humorous and interesting. The thing about a trope is that you can take it and you can twist it. And I think that's what we're going to start seeing more and more. So that's good.
Yeah, and I think Wonder Woman twisted the trope too. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, she was innocent of the world in general, but mm-hmm. she knew about it because all she ever heard was how evil the world is.
Yeah.
But she didn't want to believe that. And she wanted to see for herself, which I think is a really good angle because instead of believing what she's been taught all of her life, mm-hmm. she goes out to investigate and experience it for herself. I don't think the movie was saying that she needed Steve because she was herself no matter what, whether he was there or not.
Mm-hmm.
She remained so, even though it concerned him at times.
Yeah.
He eventually learned to let her do her thing and be herself and how that could actually benefit the world. And I think he played a part in helping her save the world, but
he recognized pretty early that she was more powerful, that she was someone, she encouraged the other guys to follow her. What are we waiting for? Let's go help her out. I think that that's actually a good version of that. I really like Wonder Woman, so it's hard for me to give it
much.
Yeah,
we're a little biased. But also, I think her falling in love with him and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Our perspective is a little different because we both have men in our lives that we love. And so it doesn't bother us mm-hmm. as much because that's just part of life, you know, sometimes from some people to find someone that they fall in love with. It's just a part of storytelling. I know there was a lot of backlash when Black Widow and Banner had a relationship, or it was implied that they were together in mm-hmm. Avengers. And I remember we did an episode on that, and I can't remember what our opinion was on it, but I think it was the same. Like, she doesn't need a man, but maybe she wants a man.
Really, I don't think they played it up too much. Like, it seemed like a second or third or fourth tier part of mm-hmm. the story. Like, it just, this is kind of unfortunate, but really what it was talking about was Banner and how Banner was dealing with being Hulk. I think that it was more about that. I hate saying that out loud because I want to give it more credit, but I think it was more about that because she was the one who was kind of bringing him back anytime that he couldn't come back. So I think it was more about the storytelling of his story than it was about the story between the two of them. I do have some criticism of that, mm-hmm. but I love her so much. I feel like, you know, it just depends on the perspective. Their relationship together affects how the story goes in Ragnarok and all of that. So I feel it was part of a bigger thing. And so it wasn't just about them being an acute couple.
That wraps up our segment on listener mail. Thank you all for your email. Thank you to Gary, Ben, and Daniel. Thank you, Stacy, for your comments. And thank you also to Rodney and Ed for your feedback as well. And you can email us by heading over to anomalypodcast.com/contact. Mm-hmm. You can also call us at 432-363-4742 or send us a voice memo by emailing it to girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. I just want to give a special shout out to the monthly supporters of Anomaly. They're Amber, Stephanie, Rick P., and Rick M. And thank you also to Hubert for his donation this month. Our Facebook group had some podcast recommendations that I thought you guys would like. I'm always looking for new podcasts, and I know you probably are too. So first, we'll start off with Daniel's podcast, and his show is called The Visionary Variety Podcast, and it's available on all platforms if you want to check it out. Mm-hmm. I haven't had time yet, but I soon will. You should join the Facebook group, and this is where we posted this question. It's very interactive and full of very fun people. There's no, like, jerks in the group. I think we'd chase those people off early on.
Yeah.
So Rodney's a member of the group, and he suggested these short story shows, The Drabblecast and Starship Sofa, which I have narrated stories on, and so has Meds from Waffle On. And Escape Pod, I've also narrated shows on that. And he said, as a Brit, it amuses me that Anomaly put me on to the very cool Waffle On podcast. You should check out Meds and Kel's show too. And this is coming from me. Waffle On, Treks and Sci-Fi, the Star Wars Stacks, and the Upper Memory Block are always on the list. The Star Wars Stacks is my other show, and we usually review Star Wars books. Mm-hmm. But recently we've started doing an RPG game I think it's Star Wars Edge of the Galaxy, correct?
Yep. Not to be confused with the theme park Galaxy's Edge.
Right.
So that has really confused all of our conversations.
Exactly. Anyway, Angela and Rico from Treks and Sci-Fi are both on that show with us playing characters. So if you want to check that out, we are just getting started. And I think it's going to be fun. We're playing scoundrels and bounty hunters.
It's literally the edge of the galaxy. There's no Jedi or anything like that. Nobody's really that noble. I mean, yes, some people are noble, but I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I'm very, very excited. And we just recorded the episode where we find a little bit more. We found out a little bit more about how we're going to be starting the story. So it's very cool. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, me too. And we're doing like Google meetings and recording the video, although I don't know if we're going to share it or not. I think we're uncomfortable right now with doing that, but we'll see what we'll feel like about it later.
Edge of the Empire.
Edge of the Empire, not Galaxy. Sorry about that.
But still, the Edge part is what messes it up because it's Galaxy's Edge and then Edge of the Empire. Still mix it. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
And then speaking of meds, he says he's a sucker for Anomaly in Treks and Sci-Fi. The upper memory block. Mm-hmm. The Star Wars stacks, Dan Carlin, Alan Alda, Adam Buxton, James Bond Radio, Walking with Dogs, and the show he hosts with Kenny and Al, MASH 4077, all about the classic TV show MASH.
Love MASH.
And we'll put links to all these in the show notes if it interests you.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Deb suggests Star Trek The Next Conversation. That sounds interesting. Voyage to the Stars, The Weirdest Thing I Learned This Week. Pete recommends Treks and Sci-Fi. Wow, Rico's getting a lot of recommendations.
Oh, yes.
And it's a good show. You should check it out.
It is.
And then Rick Pete says, Treks and Sci-Fi, The Force Cast, The Canon Cantina, Current Geek, WDW Radio, and MASH 4077. And Rico recommends iFanboy. Joe says he's all about Scott Johnson's Frog Pants Network. I used to listen to that.
I remember that. It's good. Yeah.
The Morning Stream is what I listen to. The Morning Stream, There Will Be Dungeons, Film Sack, The Instance, and more. Jerry said he has others, but he always comes back to Anomaly in Treks and Sci-Fi. He said, does M5s count for another podcast? I do listen to everything he does. We don't know who M5 is, but you've got good taste in shows. Are you looking for more shows hosted by women fans? I just found three you might like listening to. Check out Floor 600. They're reading and discussing the Percy Jackson series a few chapters at a time. And listen to Stinger TV and MovieCast, as well as the No Guilt Fangirl. You can find them all at Apple Podcasts. If you have some podcast suggestions for us, or if you're a podcaster who wants to trade promos, send us an email at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. You can find these podcasts and Anomaly also at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and every place you find your favorite shows. And by the way, Anomaly is now available on Spotify and Pandora and everywhere else in the verse.
But also, didn't you just get the thing back from iHeartRadio too?
We were a part of iHeartRadio a long time ago. Yeah, you can find us there too. But Pandora is the new one.
Yeah, oh, Pandora.
Spotify was a few months ago. And then
I think I mixed those up.
It's been hard to get on those, and I think they're starting to open. Either they're starting to open things up a little bit more, or they just decided we were worthy. I don't know.
They recognized our awesomeness. I have a non-nerd podcast that I've been listening to.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
Well, it's kind of nerdy, but it's not like our kind of genre TV nerdy. It's called True Crime Obsessed. The funny part about it, well, it's the fact that it's funny and it's about true crime. But also, the two people that host the show, they're theater nerds randomly that also love true crime. And they don't just cover like the crime, but they do reviews of documentaries of true crime.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a super meta kind of thing. And it's a comedy podcast. It's just really fun. And if you like true crime and you like a nice approach to it that's not too serious, because obviously true crime, you get into some kind of gory, weird, interesting things. They follow things like that famous one that was on Netflix, where To Catch a Murderer or something like that. And anything you can think of that has been brought to a documentary, they just cover. They're very professional and fun to listen to. And I think the woman on the show does like the official Hamilton podcast too, which I have not listened to, but she's probably pretty good in that as well.
That's cool.
So I'll share the link with you so you can see them. But they're fun to listen to.
Thank you for those, because I do like true crime shows. Mm-hmm. I've become a little addicted.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing with them is that, like, because they're specifically talking about a documentary, it helps if you can watch the documentary first.
Yeah.
Right? They cover Serial, but on their regular show, HBO did like a 4-part follow-up to the Adnan Syed case. And they covered that on their show. One of my favorite ones that kind of got me hooked was Wild Wild Country. Did you ever watch that
on
Netflix? Oh my gosh, it's about this cult that moved into this really small town in the 80s in like Oregon or somewhere. And it is the most bonkers story. You really have to watch the documentary so you know what they're talking about first. When you watch it, you won't be able to turn away. It's like the biggest train wreck. So they cover stuff like that.
I listen to a lot of podcasts because my job allows for it. Since I'm a designer, I can just go on autopilot and listen to whatever gets me through the day. And one of the shows that I really like is Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., an unofficial Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. band podcast.
Cool.
It's from the Gunna Geek Network, which is full of really cool geek shows that you should check out. But Stargate Pioneer, he listens to our show and he writes to us occasionally. That's like his like incognito name. I don't know what his real name is. Hmm. So I really enjoyed their episode on Endgame. You should check it out.
Okay.
And you can find them everywhere, but I listen to them on Stitcher Radio. And then Most Notorious, Angela, you would like this one. It's
okay.
A true crime history podcast. And he's always interviewing authors who cover crimes that happened in the past that maybe we don't know too much about. And then I'll tell you about one more. Maybe later I'll tell you about others. But Mysterious Universe is another one of my favorite podcasts. They are kind of like the George Norrie of podcasts. And they're always covering like really weird paranormal events, everything from UFOs and ghosts to mm-hmm. like chupacabra or whatever. They're not accepting of everything, but they don't discount. It's just a well done, well produced show. And I listen to it on Stitcher Radio, but I'm pretty sure you can find it everywhere. And that's Mysterious Universe.
Mm-hmm. And I just remembered one other one. Jim listens to a lot of podcasts, and one of his favorites is Hardcore History with Dan Carlin.
Oh, I love that one.
But it's really long. Like all of the episodes are like for car trip type of long,
yeah,
or doing a lot of chores type of long.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so good and so well researched, and he's so good. I'll always recommend that. It's really good.
So, yeah. A little news about Anomaly. Angela, do we want to talk about anything that we're working on?
Yes.
I'm
excited.
We've been working on rebranding the show for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time coming. You know, Coca-Cola's been around forever, right? And they tweak their logo and how they do things and mm-hmm. their catchphrases every now and then. As their potential customers change, they change to communicate with them better. And so we're trying to do that a little bit here as well. You may be seeing a new logo soon. No more pigeons with antennas. And I know that disappoints some people, but
we can still have them somewhere. They're
well,
just
somewhere.
Not gonna be
like,
part of the look.
It'll be an Easter egg, but no longer like the... And I'm ready for a change as well, because
yeah,
it doesn't really say a whole lot about us.
Mm-hmm.
The new logo is more of a symbol or an emblem. I think it fits us better.
Yeah.
We will be tweaking our website to fit all that.
We're going to probably relaunch.
Yeah.
I'm excited about
supporters of Anomaly will see the logo first.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to become a supporter, you can donate through our site. Just go to anomalypodcast.com and click on donate. And you can send a gift of any amount, and we will put you on the list so that we can keep you in the know for what's going on in the background for Anomaly.
Yes, yes. We're very excited.
Well, thank you for listening. I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela, and you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, the halfway point between Muggle and Geek. Bye.
Sorry.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity. Peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
If you enjoyed this episode of Anomaly, make sure you subscribe and tell a friend. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and now Spotify, Pandora, and everywhere else you get your shows.
Support Anomaly through feedback and donations by visiting anomalypodcast.com.
That's Anomaly
podcast.com.
You're listening to Anomaly.
Listen.
And Angela. Here's my number one mommy.
Can you do your Diana impression for us?
Hello, Mother. How are you today? And I did this.
Oh, yes. She likes to fight. That's right. And kick. And fight. And kick.